Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
On the next emerging podcast scene brought to you by Extend Technologies, a question nobody is asking about Marvin Harrison Jr.
And centaurs versus mantars. It's the emerging podcast scene presented by Extend on 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app.
The first 4 hours were simply an amuse-bouche.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
Sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
I'm good.
Your table is now ready for Carmen and Lima's emerging podcast scene.
We're brought to you by Extend. Hello, Tone.
Hello, Kenny.
Tone, take her away. Your take about Caitlin Clark.
We'll start with Caitlin Clark or the NFL draft.
Excuse me. What do you want to say about the NFL draft?
Wow. Well, no, I
remember your Caitlin Clark thing.
Yeah, I do. I just noted that there is this weird blowback on what was obvious all season, right? That Marvin Harrison was going to be the best wide receiver taken in this draft. Everybody, it was universal. Nothing is ever universal. Then the season ends, and now I'm hearing three other names that could be better than
Marvin
Harrison.
I think that's draft garbage.
Right. It probably is.
Yeah.
Is it because he didn't go to the combine?
There are people, like, it's weird. And I've wrestled with this myself, and I'm going to bring this up tonight on the network draft show. Caleb Williams. There's a lot of it, and I think this is what I would do if I was buying a house. You know what I mean? You're about to make this big investment, and I told you, man, I would not have bought the house I live in if it weren't for Liz. Liz probably would have reacted better if I told her I was cheating on her. Like she was in seclusion in the bedroom back in North Ridgeville, because honestly, I just got cold feet on the house. I talked myself out of it. And if it weren't for Liz, I wouldn't live in the house I live in now. Which, I mean, who knows? Who knows it'll all end up, right? But I think maybe it's that way with, like, Caleb Williams, where I'm like, man, this is such a big investment. Like, for the Bears, they have not had a quarterback in 80 years. I mean, really, like, I know Jim McMahon, but, like, I mean a real all over the place. Like, this guy's a 15-year starter.
Jay Cutler.
Franchise guy. Yeah, not even them. Like,
Kyle Horton.
They have not had a guy in 80 years. And I think that would scare me a bit. And I'm going, man, Caleb Williams, he cried on national television in his mom's arms. All right, well, you know, there was a lot of pressure put on him. He couldn't take that pressure. Well, there's going to be a lot of pressure on him. Okay, wait a minute, though. Like, I'm sitting here defending Marvin Harrison Jr., which there's not really much to defend. There were some people who eventually came out and kind of went after Marvin Harrison Jr. But I said, it's no big deal. Everybody knows how good he is. Put on the tape. Marvin Harrison Jr. is great. But then I thought, well, wait a minute. Caleb Williams threw at his pro day. Didn't have to. Everybody knew he was going number one. Caleb Williams threw at his pro day. Went out there, had a workout with his teammates, did the whole thing. And I'm thinking, boy, you're contradicting yourself. And there's a lot of stuff here where we as media, I've never met Caleb Williams and never will meet, more than likely will not meet Caleb Williams. And I'm over here trying to figure out we sit here and do all this when we don't have all the information. And no offense to the guys who we know as household names, they only have most of the information. The teams and their security detail and everybody, they're the ones with the most information possible. And they even mess it up. But I'm over here going, as a guy who's never met Caleb Williams, well, I don't like this and I don't like that, but I like this and I like that. Where I have to really stick to is were there any significant off-field issues? No. He is certainly an emotional guy. All right, well, plenty of guys are emotional guys. That's fine. I mean, Terry Bradshaw used to bawl his eyes out on the sideline all the time. Is he able to make all the plays? Of course he's able to make all the plays. What's he on third and long? You know, what do his teammates really, from what anybody I hear, what do his teammates really think of him? Well, I'll be honest with you about that. I haven't looked into Caleb Williams that much. I've just assumed he's the number one pick for 2 years. You know, I did look into was J.J. McCarthy, because there are some, you know, you and I do have some connections in the Big Ten, and there are connections up there. And it was, hey, you know, this guy is the real deal. And it's not about cockiness and arrogance. This guy does this on third and long that people really like. He does this in the coverage. He does this when it comes to leading his offense and leading his offensive line. Yeah, but what about Penn State? What about Penn State? What is it you need about Penn State? What, because he didn't throw the ball in the second half? They didn't need to throw the ball in the second half. They dehumanized the Penn State Nittany Lions in that game by being able to run down their throats. They did the, hey, Ohio State fans, you know it. You were mad about it. They did the same thing in the finals 8 minutes against Ohio State in the game. Put a guy who was not equipped to go down the field and be a hero, put him in that position to have to go down the field and be a hero. It was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So I can't hold it against J.J. McCarthy because he plays for a good, solid, pro-oriented football team, and that's another one of those keys. He might be better suited to start out well. I don't know how he'll finish, but he might be better suited to start out well than just about any other quarterback other than Caleb Williams in the draft.
So it led me to my question that I wanted to get to, which is, what are the odds Marvin Harrison is better, has a better NFL career than his dad? And to that, I said, I think it's almost, it would almost be shocking to me.
Dad's a Hall of Famer, right?
His dad had 8 straight years over 1,000 yards.
Best receiver in a franchise's history.
Yeah. Marvin Harrison was insanely good. And that's why I wonder about the things like the draft when Adam Schefter had that tweet the other day that wide receivers have had the biggest bust potential. And everyone said, well, there's no chance that, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be a bust. Well, sure, there are injuries. I mean, when I just said 8 straight years over 1,000 yards, how many wide receivers have been able to play 15 or 16 games 8 straight years? It just doesn't happen today.
Doesn't.
So
there's no chance. There's almost no chance. Marvin played before the... Did he play before the logjam? Probably during the logjam. Right as the logjam was really happening.
What do you mean?
His wide receiver. 99 is when he started, right?
99 was his first year.
96. God, sorry, 96.
Yeah,
99 is when he started his Pro Bowls and All Pros.
Okay,
yeah,
he is Marvin is a Hall of Famer.
He was on 8 All Pro teams, 3 firsts, and 5 seconds. Yes. That is insane.
And he did that with Reggie Wayne also on the team.
To expect that out of the sun is impossible. To expect that out of Marvin Harrison Jr. is impossible.
I mean, it's one thing to. Marvin Harrison Jr. could be a Hall of Famer as well. There's a difference between that and eclipsing his dad to me.
I mean, another question.
Things that his dad did were, like you said, the 1,000-yard seasons. And to me, when a whole city has found you as the best receiver to ever play there.
Well, think of Michael Thomas. Came into the NFL his first 3 years.
Oh, yeah.
I think statistically were like the best ever.
Right.
Did he have 120 catches 1 year?
I think so.
And now he was never down the field catch guy. He could do it, but it was, I think, you'd have to correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of those were closer to the line of scrimmage and the way they were running that offense with New Orleans. But then what happened? Injuries, trade requests, antics behind the scene, and it's already looks like it could be over for Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
So that's why I say, for Marvin Harrison to have the career that his dad had, everything has to go your way. And you have to play with good quarterbacks.
Yeah, you do.
Michael Thomas had 149 in a season.
What? Yeah. 140? 149.
149. That's almost 150.
And then he got mad because people said he was only catching slants.
Yeah.
He caught 125, and then the next year he caught 149.
Did he get in a fist fight at practice?
And then he had 40, didn't play, 16-39.
Yeah, it seems like he's done.
Yeah.
How crazy is that?
Yeah, it's he got in his own head about running slants. You can run slants right to the Hall of Fame, buddy. Yeah, I don't know what your problem was, but anyway, we're not talking about him. I got something I kind of want to bring to the air too.
Go.
We're brought to you by Extend, by the way, XTENDAV.com. They're wonderful people. Tony Fabric, one of the finest men you'll ever meet. Good for you if you're a homeowner. Good for you if you're a contractor who also owns a home. Doesn't matter. Get to Extend Technologies in Broadview Heights. Would Marvin Harrison Jr. be the type of wide receiver he is had he not been named after his father?
So if his name was Devin.
Devin Harrison. Mm-hmm. Would he be the same type of guy? And you know why? I'm workshopping this right now. Bronny James. Isn't his full government name LeBron James Jr.?
I thought so.
I think his legal name is LeBron.
So, yes.
Like, you're the one who's always said, he did not have to work as hard as he does to become a good basketball player. Like, everybody's like, he's averaging 4.5 a game. Guys, he had a freaking cardiac arrest event over the summer. Like, I'm not, I don't need to be that defensive of him. Let's calm down on some of the takes just because some of you guys don't like LeBron. But let me tell you.
If we were going to be defensive over Darius Garland and a jaw injury, how about.
Yeah.
Almost.
Thank you. Guy had cardiac arrest. Guy went into cardiac arrest over the summer. But you've made that mention. You go, he didn't need to be as hard. He didn't need to work as hard as he did. And he's worked his ass off to be a decent basketball player. To hopefully become a decent NBA prospect. By the way, did you see Drew's video real quick?
I did.
The Duquesne video?
We didn't talk about this on the air. He did the chalk.
Yeah.
That's people cool. are like, what does it all mean?
It means he's going to go to Duquesne. It's going to be awesome.
Is it over?
Why would you do that?
I don't know.
I mean, it is LeBron. He likes to keep everybody guessing. And it is his son, who probably also likes to keep everybody guessing. It's more fun that way. It's more fresh. If you have your father's name and your father is just as good, isn't there more, or is one of the best, isn't there more pressure on you if you're going to choose that path to be one of the best? Would Marvin Harrison Jr. be as good if his name was Devin? Would LeBron James Jr. be as good if his name was, well, you got Bryce, who's a natural basketball player, 6'6", by the way.
Yeah, I know, he's
cool. And I saw some highlights of him, and he's sending everybody's stuff to the third row. Almost
well, this here leap. Says that Bronny is 6'4". I don't know
how old's
is.
Bryce?
Isn't he going to be a junior?
Yeah,
year?
I don't think he's already 6'6". Like that, you're looking at six. You're looking at maybe dad's size.
He could be dad.
Yeah. But I think that the hard work and like there's only so much you can do. Your genes are your genes. So there's only so much you can do. And so maybe Bronny, there's something that just he doesn't have what his father had. And that's okay. But you can't replace hard work. And so maybe Marvin Jr., maybe he has what his father has. And then there's also being the type of wide receiver that he is. Now, if I stop on saying hard work, it's going to be because there's going to be people go, waiting to his pro day, whatever. But does it because there's more pressure, is there more pressure on him to succeed? Remember, we put a lot of pressure on Dale Earnhardt Jr. It always comes back to Dale. And people go, well, he was a disappointment. I go, he did win 26 races. That's a lot of races to win.
We always talk about that.
In NASCAR.
Boy, it's interesting, though, because he went to Ohio State, because he was
Dale Jr. didn't go to Ohio State.
Because he was such a premier recruit.
School
and because
knocks.
He hit the ground running, quite literally. He was amazing instantly. Yes, it would be brought up every game. Oh, we know who his dad is. But I feel like the last 2 years, it's been about him and not his dad. So
I haven't seen his father.
That doesn't mean what's that?
I've not seen his father.
That's the difference. I do think that makes some difference though, because his dad was never a spotlight guy.
That's true.
I mean, I know he one story one about him away from the football.
Yeah,
field,
not a great one. Not a great one.
But it was not one of the diva situations.
Right.
And in that,
there's two sides that I'm
you
sure.
brought up just how full the league was of all these great wide receivers. You called it a logjam. But all of them.
I say log jam for like the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but they were all divas. There were so many of them that they didn't have social media. They had ESPN. They had SportsCenter. And they were going to make sure that they were going to get on TV every day.
But is that the only way you define a diva? Because Jason Gibbs sent me some audio. And it's Marvin Harrison Jr. or Marvin Harrison and Marvin Harrison Jr. in an interview. And they asked Marvin what it takes to be a success. And he said, 6 a.m. Monday morning, if you caught 5 balls for 40 yards, this is a paraphrase here, you better be in that office bitching why you didn't get 8 balls for 100, why the ball's not being thrown your way. And that rubbed some people the wrong way recently. Because it's like, well, is he going to be? Because everybody's going, Stephon Diggs and all these other guys. Like, they're getting weirded out by it. And not just because T. Higgins wants some money, which he's more than entitled to. Now, well, T. Higgins is going to, like, okay, well, he deserves money. He's been a great wide receiver for Cincinnati. It might be to a thought of maybe Marvin was quiet with us.
Right.
But maybe Marvin was. But I would figure, like, Jeff Saturday's been on TV. Would that get out? Wouldn't that get out that he was bitching his ear off? Would Peyton Manning have stood for something like that if he wasn't feeding it? Now, Peyton Manning did feed him the ball.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, Peyton Manning never had a problem with calling out players. Never had a problem. Publicly.
Yeah.
And never had, but he never had a reason to call up.
Well,
so
I think
maybe
calling
Marvin
out your
Harrison
kicker and calling out your the guy who catches the ball that you throw are two different things, though, too.
Well, no, but you remember the play. You remember the when Tarik Glenn had to get up and show him who's who, yeah. Because Tarik Glenn would have actually unhinged his jaw and eaten Peyton Manning when he got into it with the offensive line. Like, he did not have a problem if he felt things were bad, cussing people out. Now, he wouldn't go fight Tarik Glenn over it, and I don't think any man would. But I go back to it and I go, okay, what is it? It's almost a chicken or the egg thing. Like, was Marvin good enough he never had to bitch? Or did Peyton always feed him because he was complaining? I don't know. I think we're trying to get into the psyche of drafting a guy based on postseason stuff, based on trying, because I think part of it's because we got bored saying how good of a wide receiver he is. Now, all of a sudden, like, it's not all of a sudden, like, Keon Coleman has great ball skills from Michigan State to Florida State, and there are plenty of people said that. Roma Dunze's good.
Yeah.
Roma Dunze's a fantastic wide receiver. Malik Nabers.
Is he the reason that Penix was good?
We'll find out. We will find out, because I told you, Penix, I would love for him to be in a place where he could sit for a year or as long as possible and learn to step up in a pocket instead of trying to run around it. Yeah. Because you can do that in the Pac-12, the final year of the Pac-12. You're not going to be able to do that in the NFL. You can't run around a pocket in the NFL. Patrick Mahomes don't do it. Lamar doesn't even do it. There's times every now and then where it's like you're forced to, you're desperate, but it doesn't usually work out well.
Well, when you say run around a pocket, I think that's different. What they do is they step up into the pressure, and then when the hole opens up in the pocket.
That's what I'm saying, though. Yeah. They're going left. They're stepping up and left or right. What Michael does, Michael Penix, I don't know him personally. What Michael does is he steps out, and then he steps out again.
He does.
Not. It's not a drop,
that's back,
step
yeah.
in.
You can't go backwards in the NFL.
Yeah. It's not a drop, step in, then left or right. It's a drop, and then a drop, and a rounding off. And it's like he's turning for second base, and I'm going, buddy, you can't do that. So that's my worry with Michael Penix. Like, yeah, he's got a strong arm, and I think he's a good kid. A little long in the tooth for what the NFL would want at a quarterback, but he's put himself in this nice position. So,
like, Kyler Murray had a knack, both in college and then showed it in the NFL, of, oh, God, a guy's barreling in on him. And, nope, there he goes. He missed him. Just finding
he would
a way
slip underneath.
Out of that stuff.
Yeah.
And when I watched that national championship game, that wasn't the only game I saw Penix. I mean, I remember him in Indiana. But when I saw that game, it was like, oh, God, not only did your coach put you in a bad spot or your offensive line, you're now putting yourself in a worse spot.
And, guys, they got a guy who's going to get drafted in the first round on that Washington offensive line. But what does Michigan have? They got a bunch of guys who, I mean, Michigan could have 15 guys drafted this year,
yeah.
And a couple across that defensive line.
You get that national title bounce that
yes.
the Ohio State teams had gotten
yes.
before.
Yes, yes.
Where but, everybody, special teams guys get
yeah.
drafted.
But Keith will break in here like the Kool-Aid man and tell you about the defensive line of
yeah.
Michigan, except we already know how good they are. And so when you go up against a bunch of guys who will play on Sunday, and you looked overmatched against a bunch of guys that
totally
did play on Sunday.
Totally overmatched.
That plays into this.
Yeah. But, of course, you do have coaches at the...
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
The next level, who will say, you know, the coaching, even though they had a fabulous coach this year, but it's not NFL. And
thanks
there
for bringing this up.
There is a huge difference. And that's why the Sean Paytons of the world, people think he could take a chance. Boy, that would be interesting if that's you have Zach Wilson and Michael Penix.
So what I know that you're pro Sean Payton, and I've come off anti Sean Payton.
We'll see after this year.
Sean Payton is a control freak.
Yeah.
Michael Penix is a very smart. This is where Michael Penix would really work for him. Michael Penix is very smart. Michael Penix has played a lot of football. This is why I think, and these are predictions. This is not what I think Daniel Jeremiah like thinks of these quarterbacks.
Penix is one of the most intriguing draft picks.
Yes,
which
sorry.
Might not be tonight.
Almost flat tired you.
Might be the next 2 days.
Yeah.
Might not be tonight. He could fall.
So Penix. Well, yeah, I mean, you could always. There's now more than ever. There are guys who we think are going to go up, and then they fall out of the first round. And it's kind of sad,
but it makes sense.
Yeah,
it makes sense. If you're not caught up
Malik
in
Willis,
that whirlwind of the first 10 picks where teams
Will
trade
Levis,
up,
yeah.
then the next however many teams don't need a quarterback.
Well, because
they don't
then
need
you
them.
Start to, some of it's going to be smokescreen tonight, and then there will be teams going, okay, hold on, let's breathe for a second here.
Yeah.
Like, am I really taking this guy? Are we really taking this guy? And then if the owner comes in, like, they swear up and down in I think Lombardi says this, and the moment I mention Michael Lombardi, people are going to discount it, but fine.
One of my favorite radio guests ever.
Oh, yeah. Oh, because you can tell he does not care about us, doesn't like us, doesn't matter. I think he thinks this is beneath him.
Might be full of you-know-what, yeah, I'm half of it, doesn't matter.
Yes.
Doesn't matter to me. Yes. I love it.
Yes. Way too big a basketball fan sometimes. There's going to be some like calming down, and there's going to be a calming of the seas a little bit, and then they'll be okay. But what I look at in the first round, and you see these guys like with Bo Nix, what's going to make sense? Like Daniel Jeremiah has him going to the Broncos, okay? And I think that's what that second pick. Don't they have two first round picks? The Broncos, yeah. I think they have two first round picks because they made trades. I think he has him going to the Broncos. Let me go check that to make sure if they got the two first-round picks.
Stevie Nick?
Yeah. Because I think he had him going to the Broncos because it makes more sense now because I haven't heard his analysis on it. But like a guy like Michael Penix, right? He's played a lot of games, played in multiple systems. You got to be smart at this point to play at that level, to play at a high level and carry your team, right? Bo Nix is the same way. For Sean Payton, I think Sean Payton's a control freak, like most head coaches are, but I think even more so, especially over his offense. And he may see a talented guy who can do exactly, basically let him be the QB in almost every way.
So Daniel Jeremiah has them trading back in.
Okay, trading back in.
Because they only have the 12th.
The Broncos.
Okay. Yeah. And then, but you would also have the wherewithal to trade back in if you wanted to. So that's... more, I knew I had seen it. Then you got six quarterbacks going in the first round, by the way. But that could be an indictment on the 2025 draft. Mm-hmm. But I think that makes a lot of sense that they would draft back or trade back into the draft and take a guy with experience and then see if it could work out for them. I mean, Denver is one of the craziest quarterback franchises I think we've ever seen in our lives. Mm-hmm. In the history of the NFL, and I could see that a guy like Sean Payton's like, give me a smart guy who I know I don't have to sit there and teach every single little minute detail to, because he's going to know it, and then he can execute my vision and what I want to do on the football field, and we'll see if we're going to make this thing work, because he's the one now with all the power.
I were you surprised, just a quick aside, and we got other things to talk about, were you surprised at all when the numbers came out? Maybe surprise isn't the right word because we know they're a factory.
Oh, Lombardi would say, by the way, Lombardi said that the John Mara had taken Daniel Jones. So you get an owner who jumps in. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where I was going with that.
Were you at all surprised to see Ohio State now has the most first-round draft picks of any school in the country? And what was the other? God, there was another Ohio State. Oh, most drafted players. Most drafted players ever as well.
You have so many draft picks. Ohio State's an extremely successful program, but then you have to also ask, why didn't you win more national championships?
Why don't you
have
more?
But I also
say
the same.
That's what always comes to.
Look at the history of the NFL and how many great players have come from Pitt. It is a who's who NFL history that have come from Pitt, not just Aaron Donald. I mean, go back and look.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable names who have played at Pitt, and you're going, I think they've won a couple of national championships in their history, but it's like, why are you not... why are you not good? Why are you not... like, I know they just won the ACC a couple of years ago, but, like, why are you not every year kicking ass and taking names? Somehow, great players just end up at your school.
They do. Oh, and one last thing. How many times in NFL history in the first round has a team done what the Cavs did, I think once with Deion Waiters, they never talked to him, they never... whatever. Where there are times when you did the research on all these guys and then someone fell. And you're like, hell, we got to take him now. I don't know. Was that the Brady Quinn story with the Browns? I don't know, because he fell so far.
I think that's more the Laremy Tunsil story. I mean, he's been great.
Yeah,
he's been great.
But I wonder how many times that's happened where a draft firm starts to take notice. They're sitting there in the 20s. That's a good team from the last year. Maybe borderline, you know, end of the playoffs, whatever, maybe even better. And they're like, we thought this guy would be gone in the top 12. What is he doing in the 20s? Now we're 26. He's still there. He's still there. No one's calling us. But no one wants to trade up to get.
I think that's scary.
How many times does that happen?
It probably happens more than we think.
I would love to know that story where they threw all their research to the side, or they didn't do the research because they didn't think a guy would be there, mm-hmm. And they're like, this just landed in our lap. We know what GMs always say when they get a second round pick. We had a first round grade. I'm not talking about that. That's different. I'm talking about a guy that legitimately was on everybody's board, a very top 12 type pick that went all the way down. And we're like, we got to take him now. Have to. We never thought he'd be here. But it's not a position of need. Don't care. This guy's too good. Can't believe it.
Well, because of quarterbacks, it pushes those guys down a little bit.
Which there's more likelihood than ever before that that happens. So maybe they do the research then, and so it doesn't happen. It's a moot point because they do know that that quarterback gravitational pull that you just said, six guys could go. What were we saying a year ago about this draft class? We're saying six guys at the top. Oh, I mean, it was all about Bryce Young last year.
Go look back at Jaden Daniels' potential draft grades before last year. Like seventh round.
What was Bo Nix?
At one point, Bo Nix was one of the most exciting young prospects in college football.
But then...
And then he fell off the face of the earth. And then it was like he went into witness protection and then came out on the other side in Oregon. And then did Bo Nix things, had a great game, and then, like, yeah, you're under pressure, and then, you know, things happen. And it's like, I got nothing against Bo Nix.
Don't you want to go back and watch the entire Patrick Mahomes last year of college again and see where we
teach
all
myself
it?
Lessons?
Yeah. Or are there lessons to learn? Like, maybe there aren't. Maybe he wasn't ready. Maybe he did need to sit for a whole year under Andy Reid.
Huncura taught me a valuable lesson. I mentioned Jameis Winston. Huncura always loves to go find my old tweets. And, you know, they had shoved them back in my face. And it's funny. I love it. And this one was it was on Jameis because I remember the show. I did a Saturday show. Jameis had just gotten in some more trouble at FSU. And I'm like, this guy is undraftable. I'm out there, I'm yelling at people on national radio going, I wouldn't touch him, I wouldn't take him. And ultimately, looking back, would you have taken Jameis Winston number one overall?
No.
But his draft stock didn't fall at all. And I'm going, his draft stock's falling like a rock. And I'm yelling at people about that. And that was 2014, that was 10 years ago. I need to learn from my mistakes. Patrick Mahomes, flat out, Texas Tech. He wore the wrong jersey. Embarrassing by me. If he'd have wore Texas, if he'd have played at Texas, if he'd played at Baylor, I mean, wherever else, not A&M, wouldn't have had a problem. Played at Texas Tech. My whole thought was Graham Harrell, Cliff Kingsbury. Nope. It's fake. He's a fraud. Not going to be good. Forget it. It's embarrassment. It's that type of armchair. Honestly, it's that type of sloppy analysis. I'm like, all right, I made that mistake. Just let me never make it again. Let me learn from it. Because I don't want to be one of those. I'm serious. I don't want to be one of those radio show hosts who just don't care and I'm just going to say stupid things. Like, I do try to do a decent enough job at it.
I liked Burrow coming out. I didn't love him. I wasn't like, this is as can't miss can be. I think I was the type of guy who, you know, the day before the draft, I was probably going, are we sure? Are we sure about Joe Burrow?
Hold on, I'm getting a text here. Nothing about anything good. Joe Burrow, I like Derek Carr, and I still defend Derek Carr because I would have taken Derek Carr in the second round,
like Derek Carr.
The Raiders took him. I'm going, Derek Carr's had a fine career.
He has.
Derek Carr's had a fine career. I didn't like Ryan Tannehill. I would not have drafted Ryan Tannehill. I wouldn't have drafted Ryan Tannehill. Where the Dolphins drafted him, but I thought if he were drafted later or drafted in the second round, has had a fine career. Kirk Cousins is certainly overachieved. Part of that is because he fills you up with leftovers. But
is Derek Carr in the Baker category of, all right, he's had a good career?
Probably.
Ups and downs?
Probably.
I don't like Derek Carr, and I think he's had a better career than Baker has so far.
You know who I really like? Blake Bortles. Keith tried to...
The guy should have been in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Keith tried to scare me out of that.
Imagine how his life would be different.
It's one of the all-time, or maybe he's just Nick Foles. I don't know, but it's one of
I don't
the
know.
Weird,
I mean, that whole season, though.
That whole season was so bizarre.
Of course, and then they go and... Did they move on from him right away? They got rid of Jalen Ramsey pretty quickly, and they brought in Foles.
Yeah, and then there was an implosion. Yeah. I mean, Doug Marrone, and it all went south in a hurry. Yeah, there are those teams that get close, but I don't know.
Let everybody know who's listening to the podcast. I know the. I mentioned the Jaguars thing. You know, I mentioned Tony Khan taking a tombstone pile driver last night. I forgot to mention this on the air. I knew this. NFL Films is following him around right now because they're doing like a thing like this guy runs a wrestling company and he's running an NFL football team. And I'm like, yeah, so he's going to end up on national television getting a DDT, draw some attention to his wrestling company, and then obviously he's going to be in the draft room tonight picking with the Jacksonville Jaguars. So, yeah, it's like, of course. Why wouldn't you? I mean, they're all showmen. His dad came out last night, Shad Khan, the actual owner of the Jaguars.
He did?
Yeah. I go, that's good business. Say what you want to. I said, that's entertainment.
We had Tony Khan on once.
Correct.
And I think I begged.
He was nice to us.
I think I begged to be able to get on the super yacht.
I think he was okay with it, actually.
Well, it's so big. Why would you care if I'm on there?
You wouldn't even see each other.
You would never see me. Let me go get a few meals from the chef, of course. I mean, I got to eat something.
That's unbelievable.
No, you got to bring your own food.
What a business. Does his dad own a patent about bumpers?
Something car oriented.
Yeah. That's unreal to me. Mm-hmm. I remember we went to that AEW show. His girlfriend, I don't even know if they're still together. Boy,
she was
lovely. She could have been so mean to
us
if
she
wanted to.
Maybe the nicest person that should not have acknowledged any of our presence at all.
Yeah, and she was so nice. And he was nice.
They
and the people who represented them were nice.
Another level rich.
Yeah. Yeah.
WNBA, they're getting it wrong. All these players ripping Caitlin Clark, all these players saying, you're going to get a welcome to the WNBA lesson the minute you get up to the WNBA. And all I could think about were some of the golfers as highlighted in the Armin-Katayan book about Tiger Woods, who said the same thing about Tiger Woods. And then years later, their houses all grew. their estates grew exponentially because of Tiger Woods.
So what does that hurt the WNBA players?
He made them all so much money.
And she can make them play.
Caitlin Clark is about to make so many of them, the good ones, a lot of money because people are going to watch finally.
But maybe they're doing it right, though.
Yeah.
By just creating like a fake rivalry.
If they say that she is going to get hammered in this league and she comes in, because I'm thinking about LeBron here, and she comes in and dominates, well, then now I don't think it cheapens the league. I think it makes her more dominant.
I do. See, this is a great.
Yeah, there's guys with heads up their asses. We're not going to be able to help them.
This is a great conversation because she's almost in a can't win in this regard. If she comes out and starts scoring 30 a game instantly and is toying with the league, by the way, I don't think that's going to happen. But if she does that, they're going to say, what a joke. I'm not even going to watch. College is more
competitive. There will be some.
Than this, where college was competitive. She did not dominate. Like, she had to work hard.
Yeah.
To score and to shoot and to do all those things against the better teams.
I also think some of this could be timing and the right timing because I've always said one of the main draws to not just her greatness, not just the hearsay of how great she is, but it's also that they're playing the rivalries. They're playing with brand names. LSU, Iowa, we know them. We know them because of college football. Yeah. And it's interesting to see LSU fans and Iowa fans hate each other. And for multiple reasons we can all bring up, right?
I don't know
about the Indiana Fever.
I don't know the teams.
But there was a time where people
would not have known that the Indiana team was called the Fever until a month.
Exactly. Yeah. But there's also a time where, like, why did the Minneapolis Lakers move to L.A.? They don't have lakes. Which is a line from basketball, but also true. Like, Jerry West said that to promote the Lakers, when they first moved to Los Angeles, they put, you remember when we were at Iowa State and you played knockout with those kids?
Mm-hmm.
They would put a hoop on the back of a bus, drive around in the bus, go to different events, and they'd play basketball up there to promote that there was a team in Los Angeles as an NBA team. Jerry West said that. Like, every sport has humble beginnings. Every team. I'm sure George Halas had to do some crazy stuff to get some people to go watch the Chicago Bears
Should they? I already saw the Washington Mystics, I think. They are changing where they're going to play when they play Indiana. They're going to go from like a 4,000-seat barn to the NBA arena. Should the WNBA schedule games in every city? Cleveland, here we go. Detroit, I don't know if there's a team in Detroit. There's only 12 teams right now.
Is there a Detroit Shock? That was the team name. Did they move?
Tulsa at one point, I
believe. Would it make sense for them?
What's Tulsa called?
Aren't in Tulsa anymore. I don't know where they were. They're in Texas now, I think.
Is there a team called the Tulsa Drillers?
That's
minor league baseball.
That's double-A baseball,
Okay. I didn't. I was like, oh, why am I thinking the Drillers?
Would a barnstorming tour make sense? Take this Caitlin Clark show on the road. It's already nationally, people are going to be watching, but tickets. Young girls around the country want to go see this. We saw that firsthand at the Final Four. Holy crap, the young girls with the Caitlin Clark jerseys. They were everywhere.
Can you play a couple of games if you're the Indiana Fever in a different area?
Yeah, I mean, let's double the schedule. They're all saying they only play 40 games. Why would they get paid that much? All right, let's make Caitlin Clark work. Let's make her earn this money.
Oh, my God.
She's already got the shoe deal. She's got all these other endorsements.
All right, here's your teams.
Here we go. Power rank the teams.
Indiana Fever, Chicago Sky, Las Vegas Aces, New York Liberty, Los Angeles Sparks.
Liberty is the best name so far, by far.
Yes. The Dallas Wings.
Terrible. That's where J.C. Sheldon plays.
It's a terrible name, though.
Great player, terrible name.
What are the Wings?
Playoff correspondent.
What are the Wings, though?
What are they?
Yeah.
They have a horse as a mascot, so I'm guessing that's a Mavericks type of thing.
Yeah, there you go. That's right.
That also has wings on it. Seattle Storm, Washington Mystics, Phoenix Mercury, Connecticut Sun, the Minnesota Lynx, and the Atlanta Dream.
Okay, Mercury.
The Connecticut Sun.
Dream.
Connecticut Sun.
I like Mercury.
I don't like names that don't have an S at the end. I'll come out and say it. I don't like names that don't have an S.
Someone's out.
What do you think of the Orlando Magic of the Miami Heat?
I don't like it. I don't like it. I think that Orlando.
Well, the WNBA has.
And the Heat should be called something different.
Four teams, technically five teams without an S. The Lynx is an X. 1, 2, 3, 4.
I smell a power ranking for tomorrow. Sports franchises without an S.
They have Sky, Storm, Mercury, Sun.
I don't think there's a single team I'd like that doesn't have an S. I just think I want animals. I want beings like the sun.
Yeah.
What is the sun? Sun?
It's the center of the universe.
Great
Ken.
Mythological creatures.
Yeah. Why can't they be called like the Connecticut Poseidon?
The Chimera.
What's a chimera?
Is it a chimera or a chimera?
Chimera.
Chimera, yes.
That's the name of a band.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Badass. How many heads are in a chimera?
The Connecticut 1990s new metal.
Oh, my God. Not the megalodons. What am I thinking of? The mantars.
Oh, yeah. Centaurs and mantars.
Well, no. Liberty is the flames, not the flame. The Elon mantars. Centaurs. The Centaurs and the Mantars could have a rivalry going.
Oh, this would be great.
All right, that's enough of this podcast. We've hit our limit. You can talk about public restrooms next week.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.